to our relationship with God and our relationship with each other and people around us. How do relationships make you feel? Let's give a bit of just a quick sample of relationships. What impact do relationships have on you?
They're encouraging.
Okay, they're encouraging.
They've helped me through some really dark times.
Yeah, it's great. I never liked being alone. At school, it was always good to have relationships. And it's true in life, isn't it? You have dark times and they help you through. Relationships, what else?
Give you a sense of value, something that you can bring to someone.
Yeah. It's amazing how relationships do draw out the real value. We were sitting talking with Nathan Monroe, who's eager to be a Christian, and we were talking about just how important relationships are. Of course, it's challenging for him with his asperges, but you know, everybody has people that they relate to. Relationships with God. Let's talk about that for just a few moments here. The thing I want to encourage us with is that is view God as our friend. I wonder, did anybody like me grow up feeling like God was a very distant character?
Very distant.
Anybody else very distant?
Yeah.
Me very distant. I think that referred to came from my dad, because my dad was such a distant character. I think throughout all the centuries, throughout years, many people have struggled to see God as being their friend. Jesus makes it very clear. My first point is see Jesus as our trusted friend. Some of us come from a background where we find that Jesus seems like an authority figure, seems rather distant. I would say to me that Jesus being, God being my friend, has probably been the most exciting revelation for me as a Christian. There are many things I've had to learn, but that's definitely one of them. How does Jesus describe himself to us? He describes in John 15, verse 15, he describes us as his friends. He doesn't describe us as, his little people who must do what they're told, but he describes us as his friends. Jesus takes initiative with his friends. Can anybody think of times where Jesus takes initiative and shows us very much to be his friend? Anything come to mind? Dom?
I think when after the resurrection, when he's reaching out to Peter, he makes breakfast.
That's a really good point, isn't it? In John 21, and he sort of has a beach party for them. And also in Mark 16 as well, verse 6, is an example where Jesus appears to the disciples and they don't know who he is, but he says to them, basically, I'm here. I'm here to help you, which was incredible. I think of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's not the time. But it's important for us to see Jesus as somebody who's on our side. God is on our side. not an authority figure. Some of us, like me, naturally gravitate towards God being an authority figure. But it's really important that we are able to appreciate that God is our friend. Why is it important, do you think, that we appreciate that God is our friend? Why is that so important? Karen.
I think you can ask things of your friend and not feel like somebody that's your friend, you don't feel like you're being judged on everything, you feel like you're accepted, and you feel like you can ask of a friend.
Yeah.
And whereas an authority figure, I think you feel most, you don't ask because it's going above you.
That's a really good point. It's sort of like our prayer lives as well, isn't it? Just being able to approach God. I wonder when you had a day recently when you felt really challenged by the day ahead or something, but being able to praise God as your friend, being able to help through, that's important. You know, one thing I think of is how we can introduce Jesus and introduce God to others much more effectively if we see him as our friend, rather than as the big policeman in the sky. You know, I wonder for those of us who struggle with God being our friend, maybe we find it more difficult to introduce Jesus to people around us, because Jesus is not so much a friend as another figure. What about being lonely? I talked about the school being lonely. You know, one really important aspect of the Christian life is Christians never should feel lonely. We should always feel like Jesus is there with us. That's another important aspect of seeing Jesus as our trusted friend. But as I said earlier, it's so important being able to share about Jesus as our friend. You know, it's very interesting listening to Ben talk at home about, they've been getting to know this guy, Sam. Sam works in the same hospital as Becky Arnold and came to church, and he's in Bournemouth, I think. But the thing that he finds very difficult is to open up and talk about his life. He's struggled with a lot of things, and yet because Ben has got close to him and Becky and other people got close to him, he's able to open up and talk about, you know, what's going on underneath. That must be a really important aspect of having Jesus as our friend. One thing I think of is how, for me, it's really important for me to be able to share with people around me about Jesus as a personal, somebody who really fills me with confidence and reassurance. You know, I think of our locations as being a really good opportunity to bring Jesus, bring God into our friends' lives, into our friends' communities, into our friends' homes. Have a look in Acts 24, verse 24. A verse that I've appreciated for many years. You may be familiar with this. There's this guy called Apollos. Apollos isn't very clear on who Jesus is. And in verse, I'll just read verse 24. Acts 24, verse 24. No, that's the wrong place. Oh, that's it. Fine. 18. So it's good to have a friend like Michael. Um, 1824, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, he's a very impressive guy, a native Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke great fervor and talked about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. So clearly there's something missing. Think first. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. I think that's so much of what our role has to be as Christians. Just to explain, to use our homes, to use our locations, just to help people to have a more accurate picture of God. Just to close this point out, one of the things I find most challenging about our generation is that God seems to be becoming more and more distant. I know it's not true world over, but just in a general sense, God is this. It's almost like, why would you go to church? What relevance does church have to my life? Yeah. What relevance does God have to my life? And there's this real sense of God being a very distant character. I think Christians have to counter that. We've got to take the challenge to explain to people more clearly, more adequately, just like Priscilla and Aquila here, what God was really like. Secondly, let's talk about our outreach. So we talked about our picture of God, how we view God. Let's talk about the way that we reach out. And turn to Luke chapter 16. Now, Luke 16 is there's this parable here about the guy who he's described as being the shrewd manager. And this shrewd manager is used as a positive example by Jesus to be wise in a tough situation. And I'm sure we're familiar with the parable. Basically what happens is this shrewd manager uses his position to help people who owe his master large sums of money or grain or whatever it is. And this manager, he offers the people the opportunity to settle their debts. And there's an amazing verse. Well, I'll read verse 9. Acts 16, verse 9 and following. It says, I tell you, use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so when it is gone, you'll be welcomed into the eternal dwellings. I'll stop there for a moment. The picture I have here, it says, one day we'll be in heaven and you will be welcomed into heaven by Michael Compton. That's the sort of picture I see here. It says, well done, Tim. Well done, Kevin. Well done, well done, Rob. Well done. You made it to heaven to be welcomed by your friend. Then he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is trustworthy with very little will be trustworthy with much. So if you've been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who trusts you with foolishness? And if you've been trustworthy with someone else's property, who give you property of your own? The point really here for us, I think, is that, you know, that God has given us the opportunity to use our lives, to use our wealth, to use our opportunities to build friendships. You know, Ben told me this week how he went with Sam to the cinema and they watched this, I know, some scary film, which I would enjoy. But after they went and had this meal out, and they had a really great talk about just, you know, just being in the church, coming to church, what it's like for Sam coming to church, how much is helping him. But it all happened really on the tail end of watching a film together. So what Jesus is encouraging us to think about here is how to use our worldly wealth, how to use our opportunities to build friendships with people. You know, I think how we can spend time with people, build friendships, bring them to church, study the Bible with them, maybe baptize them, help them to mature, and we can aspire to be excellent friends to new friends and to new acquaintances and old acquaintances. You know, Brenda did an amazing job reaching out to Sid. Where did you first meet Sid, Brenda?
I was living next door to him in Padley. So.
That's right, I remember that.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
Pardon?
How long ago was that?
About
10. 10, yeah.
Yeah.
When did he come to Wendy Country Park? And I sat with him by the fence, and we had to talk about an hour, and he told me we'd never get baptized.
The first time, I think, I can't remember. No, it was probably about 6-7 years ago.
It's got to be,
wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we had Sid's funeral last week, and it was so amazing. You know, Sid's family, especially his son Ian and daughter Trish, you know, are so grateful to the church because, you know, we were able to, for one thing, Sid never talked to his family at all about his army memories, but he talked to us about these memories of being in Dunkirk and memories of being on them and all this stuff. Those guys didn't know about that at all. But it's an example to me of how we can use our opportunity and friendship to help somebody. You know, Chris Bertels would print out these, how would you describe them, sort of commentary type things.
The whole lesson.
Yeah.
Print out every week.
And Sid would take these home, and every time I went to see Sid, he would get his book out. His notes out, and Chris Bertha's notes out. But really, that was because Brenda grabbed the opportunity to build a friendship with a
94.
He was 92 when he was baptised, so he was, you know, that he was late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So just building friendships is such an important thing. Somebody else who inspires me a lot is, you know, Lizelle. Lizelle's not here tonight. She's celebrating Sinead's birthday. But, you know, she did such an amazing job helping Petru. Petru and Carl, who are now in the States, it was really hard for those guys to become Christians. Shepherd and I were a little involved, but it was so much fun. Was Lizelle just get alongside Petru, being a friend, you know, there was no way the stuff she needs to talk about she could do without, you know, without that friendship. this week she went to America to see Peter for her birthday. I think it was a surprise, visit to Peter. But it's just what a great example that is of using our wealth as an opportunity. To close out tonight, how are we off for time? Here we go, a few minutes. Close out tonight, it'd be great for us to take a few minutes to talk about what stops us building relationships with people. I put down a few things that I thought maybe might help, the sorts of barriers. You know, getting to know people, often you find out what their needs are. I've got quite a lot of problems myself without knowing what other people's problems are. And yet, when we look at the scriptures, we see, you know, God introduces Philip to the Ethiopian in Acts 9. He introduces Lydia to Paul in Acts 16. In Matthew 11, Jesus is described as being the friend of tax collectors. It can't have been easy, you know, making tax collectors your friends. In John 11, Lazarus, who just died, is described as the one you love. This has to be an important role for us as Christians. So maybe you can take a bit of time just to split up into groups of four or six or three or twos or whatever. Find somebody you can talk to just about maybe what gets in the way and what you need to overcome in order to be the sort of friend that God intends for us to be. Let's take about 5 minutes to do that and then we'll finish up. Michelle.
I think a lot of it's quality over quantity though as well. So, I mean, I think for me it's trying to have quality conversations, not necessarily super lengthy, you know, conversations, but trying to maximise my opportunities, you know, and grabbing the chances when I can. So, you know, saying, you know, for my lunch break, how can I encourage somebody in my neighbourhood? Or, you know, I'm on our local village Facebook page, you know, and often I'll just try to put out some encouraging stuff out there or try to participate in some way, building and becoming aware of the needs within my community. And you know, I think at different seasons of life, you're going to have different opportunities to make friendships. So I'm in a season where I still have kids in sports and school parents and things like that, so I still have that mix of people that I'm able to reach out to at different events, you know, and that will change, you know, as, you know, with Caleb in secondary school, I know nobody at his school, like, I don't know any of the parents, now I have to kind of adapt to that and change, but I think it's just taking advantage of the opportunities and making it quality over quantity, you know, and making that nice stuff.
That is a really good point. I think especially doors closed, isn't they? Doors open, doors closed.
I think in the busyness of life, we just have to look at the opportunities of just sowing the seed. Sometimes it is just a question of sharing something. It doesn't necessarily mean coming to church, but, you know, you take whatever opportunity that you get. I mean, the last place I was working, I had lots of opportunities to speak to people. They're miles away from, you know, our church, but certainly had opportunities to speak to God and my relationship with God and so on, and share scriptures and so on. And even somebody at football just recently, you know, Marco plays football on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I was able to talk to somebody there, and I gave him a Bible, and you know, it's just another opportunity. So he's not quite ready to come to church at the moment, but he's now starting to read the Bible. So, you know, and I think wherever you are, there's opportunities. Sometimes you just have to step out in faith Because otherwise, what we'll find is we're so busy doing so many different things, we just don't have the time.
Yeah.
So, but you never know. I mean, in a year's time or 2 years' time, that person may be ready.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, sometimes it happens after a while.
With Sid, it took how many years did it take for Sid to get back to us? Six?
Four or five.
Four or five.
Look at Mike.
Yeah, look at Mike. I remember meeting Mike for the first time in 1990, which year was he baptized?
In 91 I was baptized, so yeah, it was just after that, wasn't it?
And which year was he baptized?
It was when we moved down. It was 2 years before he died, 95.
So it's definitely playing the long game, isn't it? Yeah, great one, Karen.
I think that to a certain extent we have a choice. One of the things that we were talking about is again, the time thing, but we do have a choice. It's like, do you clean the kitchen or do you call somebody? Do you know what I mean? I mean, within reason, and I think what I found was, I don't want to clean the kitchen. But I think what I found. I've taken a week off to clean my kitchen. I think what another thing, something that was sort of said in our group as well, is sometimes we give this impression of being so busy that people don't want to disturb us, and I think that's something that we have to really watch. And what I've found as well is, actually a lot of the time all you have to do is just send somebody a text to say how you're feeling, or how you're doing. Yeah. And you could be doing that at 10 o'clock at night, do you know what I mean? It's making, like Mohan and Michelle were saying, it's making, sort of taking the chance of every opportunity, I think.
Yeah. Well, maybe with that in mind, that's a good way to close out tonight is, what about tomorrow? Is there something we could do tomorrow? Just some initiation with a neighbour? Just drop in on someone or initiate with them? Set up something for later in the week? You know, just little beginnings of something that could be amazing. Shall we close out with a prayer? This prayer. Father, thank you that we can talk tonight about something that's really close to your heart. Father, you want us to be close to you, and we want us to realize that you are our friend. And Father, you want us to use our lives, draw close to people around us. Father, we're thrilled that people have been reached. We talked about Sid tonight, we shared about Sam, just good things that are happening. Thank you for that. Father, I pray that we might find time in our busy lives for people. Please help me, please help us not feel rejected when we try and build a friendship and just work out. Father, I pray that we can live up to your calling. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.